Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you here today likely remember the story of the prodigal son. It's one of the most beautiful stories in all of the Holy Scripture and is so ingrained into the public consciousness that even those outside the church can recognize it. In this story, we see the son who has wandered far from home. He has lived his life as though his father were dead, collecting his inheritance prematurely. He has squandered all his fortune and has sunk to the depths, feeding pigs and even longing to eat their food. But then the son comes to his senses. He returns home to be less than a son to his father, ready to be a servant, a slave. But the father will have nothing of it. He runs to his son. He embraces his son. He orders him the best robe, a ring, shoes to be put on his feet. It is time to feast upon the fattened calf, for this his son was dead and is now alive. That, dear friends, is peace. It is no wonder that these words from Christ are so well loved. The reunion of father and son without anger, without retribution, without scolding. That is beautiful indeed. This is just the sort of thing that the author Luke loves so very much. Throughout his account of the gospel, Luke delights to recount how just the sort of account that you need because you know what it is to be an outcast, alienated from others. Don't get hung up on such an account only because it resonates with you personally. Hang on to these words because they tell of the kind of God that you have. For Christ comes to bring peace between you and your heavenly Father. This is what we hear in the second chapter of St. Luke. The angel of the Lord sounds forth with a clarion voice, "Behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This good news of joy is quite personal. The angel speaks first to a select group of shepherds and says that the Christ is born for you. That message is echoed by the heavenly host who praise God and who ring out glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among mankind with whom he is pleased. Peace, dear brothers and sisters. Peace. It seems so foreign. These days of preparation hardly seem peaceful to us. As we discussed on Sunday, there are the presents to buy, the pageants to attend, the halls to be decked, and here you are in the middle of all this with another Advent service to attend. But it is not overstretched schedules which rob us of peace. You are robbed of peace by the absence of certain people. Like the prodigal son was estranged from his father, so there are family members with whom you once spent these days, but now have long since been alienated. They said things that should not have been said, and so have you. Time does not heal all wounds. The more time that passes, the more entrenched you become. While others gather with loved ones, the cold shoulder and silence from parent, child, sibling, friend makes the absence of peace all the clearer. And yet, the Lord remains true to his word. Jesus comes with peace. Peace for this season and peace for all seasons. He brings peace because we don't know what makes for peace. We are apt to take on the role of Jerusalem, over whom Jesus weeps and cries out aloud, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." We don't know what makes for peace, but Jesus does. So the message of the angelic host to the shepherds is echoed as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, as the crowds praise God, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Oh yes, there will be peace because Jesus brings peace into Jerusalem, knowing the things that make for peace. He was born for this. He was born to suffer and die so that we might know peace. How beautiful that the birth of the Prince of Peace was proclaimed to shepherds. Though we may have a romanticized view of shepherds when we look at the pretty little nativity scenes around the neighborhoods in our communities, the ancient world had no such view. Shepherds were seen as lowly, even despised. They were the very folks who needed such good news of peace. Luke's account of the gospel finds the good news being proclaimed to the poor. Whether it is the lowly shepherds or the poor who received this good news, one thing is certain. You cannot claim that good news of peace is for others, but not you. No matter how lowly you might be, Christ knows the things that make peace for you, a sinner. Rejoice in the scope of the peace which your Christ delivers. At his birth, the heavenly host says, "On earth, peace among mankind with whom he is pleased." A blessed connection with peace coming to earth, proclaimed by the heavenly host. Peace has come to earth from heaven in this child who is born. The angels say that it is for all mankind, not just for a select few. It is for everybody, the shepherds, the poor, the lowly, for you and for me. When Jesus enters into Jerusalem, then, it goes in the other direction. Now it is the crowds who cry out, "Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." They know what God has promised through this coming Christ. Peace in heaven. There is peace. Peace between you and your Father who is in heaven. It is yours for the sake of this Christ who took on human flesh, who was born to bring you peace, who died in that flesh to reconcile you to your Father, and who rose in that flesh to proclaim peace to you. This Christ who gives you peace is coming again in the very same flesh, for you now, dear brothers and sisters, are at peace with your Father. Your sin, which so alienated you from him, has been overcome. You have been prodigal, but in Christ the Father receives you back with joy, without anger, without retribution, without scolding. That is a beautiful story indeed. That peace spills down now to earth. You are not waiting with bated breath to be at peace with your Father. You live here on earth, baptized into that very peace. And so, Jesus also knows the things today which make for peace between you and those whom you have been alienated. His peace is for you, and it is for all the world, including those with whom you are estranged. Christ has forgiven them, just as he has forgiven you. That is what makes for real peace. So today, in this very hour, your lives baptized into Christ are overcome with his joy. He whom shepherds once came praising, and for good reason, the angels now sing, "Joy, great joy, and tidings glad we bring from heaven resounding, for you, for you and all the world abounding. The joy is not only for shepherds. It is not only for those who were alive that day to receive the Christ, but it is for you and all the world, all peoples of all times and all places. The praise sounds forth not only from those shepherds in the fields, but from you, from me, and from all the world. For God's own Son is born a child, and God the Father is reconciled. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.